2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I've got a New International Version reading. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17 says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone belongs to Christ, is in Christ, they are a new creation. A new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Now, I was telling some boys in Boys Brigade on Friday, company section at Yardley Baptist Church. We got about seven or eight lads in the company section, and funnily enough, most of them are senior boys now. So after we finish with the company section and send a couple of lads home, we keep the rest of the lads, and we do some devotions with them. And I was telling them that many years ago, I thought I had nothing to live for. But then I was invited on a youth weekend where I gave my life to the Lord. And when I gave my life to the Lord, I became a new creation. I became made brand new. I was born again and God made me new. My life's been permanently marked by this transformation power that Jesus brings when he transforms somebody from the old self into the new when they give their lives to him. But today, I want to ask you, how many are sometimes just dissatisfied with the way you're living your life? How many of you thinking that I don't quite live up to what I'm supposed to live up to? I get angry with my loved ones. I shout when I should be encouraging. I'm struggling with the way I live my life. Now, maybe some of you are overly critical. I don't like them spuds. They're not crispy enough. I won't tell you who I said that to once. How many of us are overcritical? How many of us have had our children shouting at each other at home? It's your fault! Yeah, it's your fault! And you want your children to shout, and then you shout at them, "I've told you before, there's no shouting in this house!" And you end up doing the very thing that you don't want to do. What happens? We try and live our lives in a certain way. And sometimes people say, "I know, I can control myself by being more religious." So some people start going to church when they feel their life is going out of control. And if I can be more religious, then perhaps I can get some control. Being religious is nice, but only Jesus Christ can transform you from within. Being religious is nice, but only when Jesus lives inside you can you truly become a new creation, a new person. Let me say that one more time. Being religious is nice. You can try as hard as you like, but only Christ will make you you. So when Christ comes into our lives, we become a new creation. We were asking a question at Boys Brigade. Gosh, there's some muck on my glasses, I tell you. We were talking at Boys Brigade watching the Youth Alpha. The Youth Alpha is brilliant. It stops three times and asks questions. And the boys answer, and as officers and volunteers, we get to answer as well. And one of the questions was, if you only had 24 hours, and you had the most, all the money in the world, and you had 24 hours, what would you do? Well, I said, I'd get the best worship band ever, so long as they let me play, and we'd have a worship concert like nobody's business. And then one of the lads said, I'd get my grandparents and my parents and my family, and we'd have the best picnic ever. And I thought, wow, that sounds much better than my one. And then when I told my wife, she said, I noticed I didn't get a mention there. So now I say, I give half the money to my wife. Okay, so make sure you tell her that when you see her. When Jesus comes into our lives, he makes us new. He transforms us. He does something different in our lives. We are no longer the person that we used to be. The old has gone. The new has come. The new has come. And he comes and he transforms us. I've seen two amazing transformations, well, a number of amazing transformations while I've been a pastor. Two I want to just talk about really quickly. These two people are as different as chalk and cheese. One was rough and ready from Yorkshire. I from Yorkshire. Anybody from Yorkshire here? Oh, good. I'll take the mick out of them even more then. And one was from France, would you believe? And different as chalk and cheese. Yorkshireman was rough and ready. Every other word was a swear word. He used to teach guitar. And for some reason, we had money from the local authorities where we could spend 10 weeks giving kids taster lessons in a violin, guitar, singing, dancing, computers. And this guy was teaching one of our students anyway. And their parents said, would you like to come? And would you like to run a 10-week course? So to run a 10-week course, and the kids all lapped it up. The ones who did guitaring did really, really well. They learned something like four or five guitar shapes, and so they were practically able to play everything in our worship book. And when I met him, I said to him, I looked at him and said, one day I'm going to baptize you. And he went, you're effing not going to baptize me. And I thought, I beg your pardon. I knew him for 3 years before I put him in through the waters of baptism. And he said to me, do you remember what I told you? I said, I do, as I held him under the water a little bit longer. A new creation, brand new person, completely changed. Kindest, warmest person ever. Never uses the coarse language that he once used. Never as vicious as he used to be with his tongue. The French lady, she came to the church with her boyfriend. She said, I am never coming back to this church. It's too emotional. As she ran out crying. If the musician, the Yorkshireman was a musician who taught guitars. This lady was a PhD student. She went on the Alpha course. She gave her life to the Lord. And when it came to the Holy Spirit weekend, she said, the Holy Spirit is like two magnets who come together and you can feel the force. And I went, my love, I've never heard the Holy Spirit described in a scientific way before. She lives up in Manchester now with her husband. And she just wins so many people for Christ. She has open house. She invites mothers around with the young children. They've become pastors in a church. And the transformation has been complete. And when you hear her make an appeal for somebody to come to Christ or for somebody to support a child in need, you want to hear the emotion pouring out of her. That emotional, that person who said church was far too emotional, when she makes an appeal, she grabs every ounce of your emotion, a new creation, a new person. But both of them were invited to church. Both of them were invited at some stage to church. And because they were invited, God had an opportunity to change their lives around. And because they met special people, they were able to find God, and God made them new. So, whenever you're throwing a banquet, I know you do great food here, because I've been here for food. And let me tell you, I couldn't eat enough of that food. I couldn't finish it neither because there's just far too much. You have great banquets here. You have great food here. It really is a wonder to behold. If you want to see people's lives open up, you invite them to something with food. And they will talk to you all day long. Now, it doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter how they're dressed. It doesn't matter how they look. It doesn't matter if they've got piercings. Here, there. I've seen them there. I've seen them there. It doesn't matter. Jesus says, come as you are. Come as you are. The invitation goes out, come as you are. Guess what? Those things that you need to make changes in, I will make you new. I'm not saying piercings are wrong, by the way. I'm just frightened to get one myself because I'm a big, big baby when it comes to anything piercing my skin. Come as you are, and I can make you new. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter how much money you got, if you got money or no money. It doesn't matter. Just invite people. Let them come as they are. It doesn't matter whether you wear a suit or a jumper. When I grew up in church, I had an Everpress suit. Anybody ever Everpress suit in the 70s? It's a kind of suit that you can throw in a washing machine, hang out on a line, and you never need to iron it. It stays Everpressed, as it says on the label on the inside. Now, I wore a suit from the time I could wear long trousers. Do you remember, older lads, you got your long trousers when you were 12 years old and not before? Before that, it was shorts. When I got my suit, I've never stopped wearing a suit in church. And then when I finished being a pastor at Small Heath, and I'm now a member of Yardley, I noticed that they don't wear suits at all. So guess what? I don't wear a suit on a Sunday anymore. It's kind of weird. But you know what? I think God still loves me all the same. My mother might say, where's your suit, David? You can't go to church without your suit. I said, I couldn't when you were looking after me. But God loves me. And God loves us just the way we are. He says, come, and I will make you new. That invitation goes out to everybody. And how do we know that God makes us new? Well, it's the testimony of so many people. I ran a football team when I was in Bristol. And that football team had 9 players when I started and 18 when we finished. And at the end of the season, we had an end of season do with all the other football teams, and we got a special Christian speaker. It was a Christian football league, and we got a special speaker in. His name was Phil Don. He was a FIFA referee. He'd refereed the World Cup in the United States of America, and his opening lines were, I met a man who shot his wife in the head. Now, it's funny that, as an opening line, I've never forgotten that. Because I looked at the other managers, and the lads we had were all rough and ready from all the different estates around Bristol. And we're going, you don't want to be telling the kids that. Shooting people in. Quick, get him off the stage. Well, he shot he met a person who shot his wife in the head. And to cut a very long story short, he became a Christian at the same meeting where his wife became a Christian. Apparently, he shot his wife in the head. That bullet skirted around every major organ and came out the other side. And when he went to the front, he saw her at the front, and they renewed their marriage vows, and now they're happily married. God takes all comers and makes them new. He made that couple new. He restored a marriage. I've got to say, if you shoot your wife in your head, you know, you're on pretty rocky ground as marriages go. But God turned that around and he made them into new people. And God is looking for us to win people for himself. He wants to make people new. When I was at Smallleaf, people used to say, somebody said to me once, I like your church, Dave. And let me tell you, your worship was wonderful this morning. It reminded me of being back in Smallheath. And believe me, when we were in Smallheath, we used to really enjoy ourselves in worship. Your worship reminded me of that. But let me tell you that I really enjoyed your worship. But somebody said to me once, your church is too big for us to join. So we won't be joining it. I had to say to that person, well, there's a person in Smallheath that doesn't come to this church. Our church is not too big. Our church will only be too big when we've got everybody in Smallheath into the building. Then the building would be far too small. Our church is never going to be too big until we get all the people in this part of Whittington, or down the road in Whitton there, across the way. I don't even know all the geography of this part of the world. That way? Okay. I've learned something today. Our church is not too big until we win as many people as we can. When I was in Bristol, my children were very, very, very small. 2 and 4 years old. When we joined a church in Bristol, my children doubled the Sunday school size. When they went to local school, they started bringing some of their friends along. And God worked in such a miraculous way that by the time I left 7 years later, we had 40 kids in the Sunday school and 30-odd kids, some of them the same, some of them not, in the youth group. All because my little children invited their friends to come along. And guess what? The friends came, saw people who looked like them. A lot of mixed-race kids came, saw that my kids looked like them. And they joined the church, and they in turn would come to Christ, and they in turn would bring their friends along as well. Now, if a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old can bring about that kind of change where those kids, local kids, were changed and made into new creations, then guess what? If a 2-year-old or 4-year-old can do it, then perhaps we can do that ourselves. Don't think about God from a worldly point of view, but think about God who makes things new, who makes people new. I, when I was young, was out of control. And you might say I'm out of control now. I was completely out of control. When I gave my life to Jesus, he took that angry young man and he made him into the person you see today. When God stepped into our lives, he made us into the people we are today. He changed us. When he met Nicodemus, Nicodemus belonged to a sect that believed you had to keep 619 rules perfectly to be right. And guess what? Nicodemus was able to keep most of them. He sneaks up to Jesus in line and says, I understand. You are a man from God. It's obvious. But I can't visit you in daylight because people might see me. So I'll come at night. What do I need to do? And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. You need to be made new. You need to allow God to transform you. Not by your might, not by your spirit, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord. You need to be born again. Now, logically, the man says, well, hang on a minute. I've been born once. How am I going to be born again? Jesus turns around and says, flesh gives birth to flesh. You know, you get married, you have kids. Bang! Flesh gives birth to flesh. But when God steps inside your life, spirit gives birth to spirit. When God connects with you on the inside, spirit gives birth to spirit, and you become a new creation, transformed in every way, renewed in every way. You might be dissatisfied with your life and you wish you could do things better. It's not by being more religious that you're gonna get better. Being religious is nice, but it's only when Christ comes into your life that you become a new creation, made into something new. You might be thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I'm not sure if God wants us to be a bigger church. I know God wants George Road to be a bigger church. I know you have plans for the buildings next door. I know you have plans to extend this tent. I know you have big, big plans. And we do need to have big plans and new plans and see God do new things in our life and in our church, because he's a God who does new things. In fact, to think small is to insult God. Because there's nothing that's impossible for God. If God says, I want to do a new thing, he's looking for a people who will do that. And I know you're the crazy kind of God-fearing, risk-taking people who will go out and do whatever it takes to win people into the kingdom of God and to take up these spare seats, which actually, you got quite a big Sunday school, so I know a lot of the seats were occupied. But when you build your extension, you're going to need to build it, because God is going to bring new people in. He is doing a new thing. If you manage to get the buildings next door, God will have to do something completely new. And when you merge with Emmaus, God is going to be doing an absolutely brand new thing. Right at the beginning of 2020, I want you to know that God is doing a new thing. And right here in George Road, this place is a catalyst to see what God can really do. Now, some of you are sitting there going, boy, that Dave Ellis is a little bit crazy. If he thinks we can do all of that. I don't think you can do that. I know that God can do that through you. Join your prayer meetings and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Read your Bibles and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Go deeper in your desire to learn about God, and he will continue to transform you. And he will give you a new boldness that you've never had before. And if you're ill, he will be able to transform your bodies. And if you're struggling with your finances, as you put your trust in him, he will do a new thing in you. I'm not saying that he's going to make you a multimillionaire and make you rich and you'll have a Bentley for every day of the week. That's only reserved for pastors. I'm just checking that you're listening. I'm not saying that, but I know whatever your situation is, my God can make all things new. And so back to the reading. So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view, i.e. everybody we meet has the potential to become a new creation. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You know, we talked on Friday at Boys Brigade and we said, who do people think Jesus is? And they went, oh, he's a nice man. He was a prophet. He did these different things. He did miracles. He did tricks. I said, people believe that. But they're regarding him from a worldly point of view. How do we regard him now? And one of the lads said, well, I regard him as Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the whole world. Don't regard Jesus in a world way anymore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And we recognize that if anyone is in Christ. Now, notice it didn't say if anyone believes in Christ, because the devil believes in Christ and shudders. So it tells us in James. No, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ and Christ is in him, her, then they become new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. And I don't believe we always get it right. I know I don't always get it right. But I see the journey that I've made. And I know that God is able to do marvelous things. So let's just bow our heads for a moment as we pray, as we conclude this sermon. Now, there might be those of you who are dissatisfied with your lives and wish you could live your lives in a more Christ-like way. And we don't always get it right. But the answer isn't just by being good enough. The answer is letting Christ come in and change us. For those who are in that position, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we walk with you. We want to be good, but we can't do it in our own strength. And so we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come in and guide us and direct us and continue its work, his work of transformation in our lives. And Lord, for those of us who are frightened about new things happening, Lord, let us be reminded that you want to extend your kingdom. You ask us to extend our tent. Lord, while there is a person out there who doesn't know you, we're not big enough. So bring us to all those you want to see come into your kingdom and use us, Lord, just like you used my little girls all those years ago to bring 40-odd kids into church. Lord, use us to bring a few people into church. We're not big enough till everybody's saved. And Lord, as you do your work of transformation in us, we pray, precious Lord, that we would keep on trusting you. And no matter how impossible something seems that you're asking us to do, let us know that you are able to do new things. Lord, you want to do new things. And Lord, we're making ourselves available for you to do new things in us, for you to do new things in our families, for you to do new things in our church, for you to do new things in our community in 2020. Holy Spirit, come and strengthen us to be obedient to your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.